Welcome to KS Radio, the segment of love, forgiveness, and second chances. This is Valerie Harris, your hostess for this evening, and I'm so grateful and honored that you've joined us this evening. Let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for another opportunity to break bread, to lift up the name of Jesus, to honor you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you've called us, Lord God, to a place where we hunger and thirst after you. We hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord God. We hunger for your word, Lord. Speak, Lord God. Father, I just surrender my all to you, Lord God. It is not me, Father. It's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, Lord. Father, I invite the Holy Spirit to come in. Have your way, Lord. We want to hear from heaven. We want to hear from you. Father, we glorify you. We praise you. We honor you, Father. Father, we lift up holy hands before you, before a holy God. We give you our heart. We give you our minds. We give you our bodies, Lord God. All that we are, Father, belong to you. Hide me now behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And Father, come. Have your way. Bless your people, Father. Speak, Father. We want to hear what you have to say, Lord. And Father, I give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in the name of Jesus. This is such a great day, a beautiful day, one that we have not seen before, and I don't take it lightly. I so am aware that God have us in stations in life. And I'm at a station in my life right now where I am truly, truly seeking the heart of God. I say that because we can be so busy doing good works that sometimes we get ahead of God, that sometimes we lag behind God. But truly, the safest place for us to be is in his will and following after him. I just want to remind you, a few weeks ago we talked about what the face of love looked like. And in the word we brought out, how God is love. And how Jesus was wounded and bruised and broken and beaten, and how he gave his life for the whole world to fulfill the promises and the plans of his Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And then he said that we will be known by our love, that people would recognize those who follow after him by our love, and that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross to follow after him. And then on last week, we talked about how we have to stay hungry for God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And so I'm like, God, you're building something or rebuilding or restoring something in us. So when we suffer, it's not to dismiss us or to rebuke us. It's to build us. And you said that greater love can no man have than he would lay down his life for a friend. And then you were speaking to us about being hungry for you. And so today I just want to begin to lay down a foundation. I just have a part of it, but the part that I have I want to share is that Jesus was having a conversation with his disciples, reading from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. But before I start reading, I want to just lay a little background. Jesus had just rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came after him, talking about, "We want a sign. If you truly are the Son of Man, we want a sign from heaven. What is the sign of who you are?" And Jesus' response to them was that in the morning it would be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you cannot discern the face of the sky, but can you? I'm sorry. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And he said that back then when he was walking, before he was crucified. And many times we're looking for signs. And he's saying you can discern the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the time. Why am I mentioning that? Because we're living in a time where God is speaking in so many different ways. He's giving us warnings. He's getting us prepared for what's to come. And we have to be ready. We have to stay ready. Because the prophecies are being fulfilled like never before. The word is alive. And the church has to be ready for what's coming. So in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So what we're talking about tonight, what does the church look like? When Jesus asked his disciples who they thought that he was, or what do men think or say about him, Peter comes with an answer. Thou art the Christ. You are the anointed one. You are the sent one. You are the Son of God. Flesh and blood didn't tell him that. He said that it was the Spirit of God that revealed that to you. There is a place, a station in our lives that you have to know that even though you walk with God, we have to have a revelation in order to discern the signs of the time. We have to have a revelation of this Christ that we serve. And God is saying now that we need a revelation of what the church is actually supposed to be. First of all, the church is not a building. That's a place where we may gather together, because he says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves. But God doesn't live in a building. He lives inside of you and I. He's made his abode within our spirit. Church is not built with brick and mortar. He said that we are the lively stones in which the church is built. So the church is not a place that's stationary. The church should be moving. Should be active. And everywhere we go, if the Christ is living on the inside of you, we're the church. For those of you who may not know what I'm talking about, let that resonate and sink into your spirit. God is not coming back for a building. He's coming back for us. Now, this nugget here in this passage of scripture, and upon this rock, Peter, upon this revelation of the Spirit, the foundation is built upon the Spirit of God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's not the things that we do in the flesh that we can call the church. It's the acts of the Spirit of God that the church is built, with Christ Jesus being the cornerstone of the church. The church is the body of Christ. We are God's people, in which God is building the lively stones, walking by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. The church should have power, because the Holy Spirit endues us with power from on high. Dunamis power in the book of Acts. Baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God dwells within man. The laws of God are no longer written on tablets of stone, but he said that I have written my laws upon your heart. And upon this rock, the Spirit of God, my church will be built. Now let's go just a little bit further. many men have been called to build the church. Now, I'm not criticizing the church. I'm just saying what God put in my spirit. Some churches have building funds for years trying to build a bigger church. And have you ever wondered why the church don't get built? Or that are those who have received funds to build a bigger building. And when you walk inside the building, sometimes there's no presence of God because the focus is on the building and not on the builder of the building. This reminds me of the journey that the Israelites had in the desert. For 400 years, there was a cry out to God to deliver them from bondage from the Egyptians. God sent Moses in as a deliverer. God delivers his people. They see the miracles of God as he's causing plagues to come upon that land in order to show himself strong and mighty before his people. He delivered his people by a strong hand, annihilating the soldiers of the Pharaoh, the horses and the chariots being drowned in the Red Sea. When he had parted the sea for them to cross over, a pillar of fire by night, a cloud of glory by day to guide them along the way. And they're free. They're on an 11-day journey to the promise of God. And they see this with their eyes. But they're so accustomed to what they already had from what they left. They were free in their bodies, in the flesh, but in their minds, in their thoughts, they were still bound. And because they did not know or have the faith to trust that God was going to get them to the promise, they complained. When God told Moses to gather the people together, that he wanted to come down and visit them and talk to them, they said, "Moses, you go."
Yeah, what's up?
Not able to trust or rely or depend on the holy God that they cried out for 400 years to deliver them from bondage. God has made promises to us. And sometimes we might be afraid to trust because we can't see, because we don't have the revelation of what God is saying. And because he's not doing it the way we think he should do it, and we want it microwaved, and we want it instant, and we want it all tied up in a beautiful box with a beautiful bow, and he's answering prayers, and sometimes those prayers are answered through suffering and through persecution and through trial and through patience and through pressing in prayer and praise and thanking God and worshiping God when we're in situations that we don't understand. and continuing to hope and believe. And we miss the mark. But God is kind. God is loving. God is full of grace and He's full of mercy. And the one thing that maybe sometimes we forget is that He knows exactly what He's doing. He's working things out of us. We have to be empty to be filled. If we're full of self, we have no room for God. But when we empty out of self, I found that I had been so busy. And when God tell me to be still, I don't know how. But it's necessary. And so I'm pressing through with prayer and I'm pressing through with praise just to be in His presence. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. There are two ways I can run this race. I can run this race without Him and fail and never get to the finish line. Or I can run this race with Him, where He's my guide, where I look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Well, when I don't know if I have a sure word, or if I'm battling with God, is that you? Is that not you? Battling to be still. Learning how to wait. Learning how to hear again. Learning how to be certain. Learning how to press in for a revelation of God. Learning how to thank Him when I'm uncertain. Learning how to praise Him, not that I've gotten the answer, but for who He is, even when I don't know my way. He told Abraham, Abraham, I need you to leave your family. Leave your home. I'm going to take you to a place. And by faith, Abraham had to move. Didn't know where he was going. God could have been taking him down any road. But he was following after God. Didn't know where he was going. Didn't complain. Not saying he was perfect, because he made mistakes along the way like we all do. But God has a way to get us back on track. What do we fear? Let's not fear what man has to say. Let's not even fear the signs of the time. What is there to fear but to fear the Lord, even when the dark days are coming? Because He's already warned us of that. But He's made a promise. If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, I will lift you up. I will raise you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Prefer others more than you prefer yourself. If any man desires to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross to follow after me. And upon this revelation, my church shall be built. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If this is what He said in His word, it's truth. With my eyes, I can see the buildings. I can walk in the building and wonder, God, where are you? Where's your presence? Where's your word? I'm hearing so many things and you're not being exalted. Looking at the outside. But man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So wherever you are, and you know that the presence of God is living and dwelling on the inside of you, wherever you go, into empty places, into dry places, into valleys, into mountaintops, the church is there because he's dwelling on the inside of you. Look within, trusting and believing that you are the carrier of the power of God. And when you release a word that is written or that is spoken from the mouth of God, that word cannot return unto him void, but it shall accomplish what he set it forth to do. Speak the word. In order to speak the word, you have to know the word. In order to know the word, you have to have relationship and fellowship with the one you serve. This is a journey. And we're at different stations. And God doesn't intend for us to be still at all times. There are times when we have to be still to listen and to learn and to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then when God starts moving, we need to be moving with him. We need to follow the fire. We need to follow the cloud. We need to follow his lead. We need to say what he says. And we need to do what he says do. God, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Oh God, let us know your voice. The voice of the enemy I shall not know, nor shall I follow. Your voice is the only voice I want to hear. I want to know your presence. I want to know your voice. Lord, if I've been away, if I strayed away, you're the great shepherd. And when one sheep is lost, you come back to find that one lost sheep. Jesus, you promised your Father that you would not lose a one that God has given into your hands. Lord, we are your sheep. You're our shepherd and our king. Our hope is in you. Lord, just as you prayed to your Father, God, just as I hear your voice, I thank you that you hear me and that you answer my prayers. He hears us, y'all. But Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. If the church is to be viable, we have to get rid of the iniquity by going to a holy God and letting him search our heart and reveal the things that are not like him. And allow him to wash them away. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The church is not only aware of the Spirit of God, the church should also be aware of the things that pushes him away. God, a fruit of the Spirit, is long-suffering. But he never said he'd be forever suffering. He said, I will not always abide with man. As the world goes darker, he said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We might have been still in a place of stillness, in a place of God refilling us or restoring us or healing us. I was talking to a friend of mine today who was telling me about being in the valley, just waiting, ready to come out when the Spirit of God tells us it's not time yet. Stay in the valley. Don't you come out of the valley because you have wells to be filled. I need to fill you. We cannot go out empty. We must go out full of the Spirit of God, because when you speak a word to someone who's hurting, that word has to be active and quick and alive and powerful enough to break through the spirit of darkness, because it's full of the light of God. When you lay hands on the sick, because the Spirit of God has moved you to do so, it's at your word and it's at your touch. The scripture said that Paul, as he was walking down the street, the very shadow of him will cause demons to flee. That's some power, y'all. That's some signs. That's some miracles. That's some wonders. We're moving into another station in God. He's bringing us to calling us to come up higher, calling us to walk closer, calling us to run and follow the fire and let the fire be on the inside of us, the dunamis power of his Spirit, calling us to come away from some things that would keep us bound, that would confuse us and entice us to serve another God and not follow after him. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's calling us to be single-minded, calling us to be focused on the prize, calling us to be focused on him, calling us to be full of the Spirit, calling us to recognize what's him and not him. Test the Spirit by the Spirit and know whether or not it's of God. Calling us to be sensitive to his Spirit, to be loving and compassionate toward others. Calling us to compel men and women and boys and girls to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Calling us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to be wavering back and forth between the flesh and the spirit, because the church is built by the Spirit. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your Spirit calling us to come, calling us to trust you without being calling us to a place of worship, to a place of peace, calling us, Lord God, inviting us into your presence, inviting us into your throne room, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where there's liberty, where you have prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies, where you're anointing us, where you're filling us, where you're reviving us, where you're refreshing us, where you're restoring us, where you're healing us, where you're delivering us, Lord God. Where you're bringing us out of darkness, Lord God, out of the shadows because of the signs of the time. Lord God, our hope is in you. And I thank you, Father, for restoring hope. I thank you, Lord God, for watching over our children. And I pray, Lord God, that there be a legacy that follows behind us that's full of the anointing, that's full of your power, that's full of the love of God, that's full of your Spirit to annihilate those things, Father, that are not of you. May they walk in holiness and righteousness, Father. May the peace of God guide them. May you cover them with the shadows of your, with the shadow of your almighty wing and keep them safe. Lord God, we praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We love you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for moving by your Spirit. I thank you, Lord God. I'm blessed. I thank you, Lord God, that I'm blessed and cannot be cursed. I thank you, Lord God, that every person under the sound of my voice, those who are on the line and those, Lord God, who will tune in to listen to the word, that they're blessed in the city and they're blessed in the field. They're blessed going out and they're blessed coming in. Blessed because we're blessed by the best. Best, blessed because you are dwelling on the inside of us. Blessed, God, that not only that we hear the word, Lord God, but that we're doers of your word and that we follow and we chase after you with a passion and a hunger and a desire, knowing, Father, that you are fashioning us to look like you. That when you look upon us, Father, you see your Son, the face of Jesus, because you're molding us, Lord. We're his body. And he's our head. And I thank you, Father. Father, I give you the glory. I give you the honor. And I give you all of the praise that you're restoring the thing, Lord God. You're restoring knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And we're a moving church. And where we go, Lord God, people's lives will be changed because of you. And I give you the glory, I give you the honor, and I give you all of the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The lines are open. If there's anything you'd like to add, any comment, anything you want to say, any prayer request, any revelation, this is your time.
Preacher man, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, this is Brother Charles, I want to say that I thank God for the preacher man having me on tonight. My spirit agreed with your spirit. Everything you said was truth. You was guided by the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm old school. I believe in the Holy Ghost. One of the things you said tonight caught me. Everything you said got my attention, but it was about blessed are the poor in spirit, being Poor, if you look the word of poor, it means to be empty. That's one of the definitions of poor. If you empty yourself of self and let God come in and fill you with his holy presence, you'll be blessed. It's real simple to be a Christian. Man ain't got into it, but there are dogmas and put too much of themselves in it and made it complicated to be a Christian. But it's so easy to be a Christian. It's so simple to be a Christian. Empty yourself, become poor in self, and rich in God, and you can be a Christian. Real easy. That's all I want to say.
Amen.
I have a bad speech impediment. I have a bad speech impediment at times, but it's times God to take this knot out of my form like he did with Moses.
I couldn't tell, Charles.
I can talk at times. At times I get up, I can't say nothing at days. When I say, God don't want to use me today, but the days he want to use me, the knot's going out of my tongue and I can talk. And I've enjoyed you tonight. I've enjoyed you highly tonight. I thank Preacher Man for having me on there. And one more thing I want to say, and I'll let somebody else have the floor. The Spirit knows the Spirit. I don't look like a Christian Preacher Man to tell you. Or what they say a Christian's supposed to look like. I don't talk like a Christian. I don't act like a Christian. It's fake. Fake facade that most of them puts on, and they full of the devil, they ain't full of Christ. But I got an anointing on me. It's times I feel like my feet don't be touching the ground, like I'm floating in the air, and I have to look down sometimes to make sure I'm still making contact with the ground. And those are the days I know that God's ready to use me to speak to someone. If it's not but for about 5 minutes, he's really used me to speak to somebody that day, and he takes a knot out of my tongue. And me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we will witness to you if you give me 5 minutes. I will witness to you about Christ. That's how me and the Preacher Man met. That's how we met. I was talking to somebody else about Christ, and the Preacher Man was sitting around listening. That's how we met. So I've enjoyed you tonight, sister. Truly, truly enjoyed you.
Well, Charles,
so,
I've enjoyed you too.
The floor is open.
I enjoyed you too, Charles. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Anyone else has any comments? Anything they want to say? Anything you want to share?
Sister Valerie, I just want to thank you for the teaching and just really reminding us that we are the church and not just the physical building we go to, like you referenced the building funds. It's just not the building, it's us. And that's a beautiful thing. A lot of times we get caught up and have to go to church. I know I do. I used to be real frustrated if I missed the Assembly of the Saints, but I am the church, and wherever I go, I take the Lord with me. So I just want to thank you for reminding us of that tonight, especially when I received out of it tonight. Very important lesson for me. So thank you for our family, and thank you, Sister Valerie.
Thank you for sharing. It really is important that we know that we're the church. And so when God tells us to be still, sometimes he'll tell you, and people may not believe this, but sometimes he'll tell you to sit down. And I love going to church. I love the fellowship with the saints. I love being in the presence of worship and praise and hearing the word of God teach. But I remember this time God had me sitting, and I was in transition because he was moving me. And, you know, and I don't take it lightly. Sometimes I stay too long where my assignment is up and he's sending me somewhere else. And I was at my kitchen table on a Sunday morning just reading my Bible, and I was finna get up and go to church. And the Spirit of God said, Are you really gonna leave me to go listen to a man and I'm trying to teach you something?
Amen.
I stayed right there in my pajamas, right in the Word, getting revelation that only the Spirit of God can give you. And then when it was time, when he filled me, he released me. Sometimes we don't know that we are empty because we're so accustomed to going and doing. And I love serving people. I love people. God has put such a love in my heart. And I rarely ask him for anything for myself. But you can go so long until you won't eat and you can't do you no good to anybody.
Amen.
You are depleted. And he'll pull his soldiers off the front line, pull somebody else out there, and give you what is that they call when you have a leave?
A furlough.
When you're in the army, a furlough, where you can go somewhere and get some rest. And sometimes he will furlough you, but it's all God.
Hey, sister, can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
So God takes you to the place called there like he did like he did Elijah. He did me like that several times in my life. He takes you to a place called there, plenty of water, plenty of food, and I sit on the acacia tree, and I let God teach me. Yeah, he do it to us sometimes. You're absolutely right. And a whole lot of preachers back home told me, man, you wrong for this. You ask him, no. Well, I tell you what, you tell God he's wrong, and then I'll agree with you. Look, God helps me to sit down sometimes, and he teaches me. He shows me things. God showed me things in the 80s that some of the big man of God is just not getting a revelation of in the 2000s. He showed me things and taught me things because I was willing to sit down, didn't want to be out front all the time, being caught up in self like a lot of preachers are. I didn't care about that. I didn't care about the recognition of man, the praise of man. I only cared about what God thought about me, and I still do to this day. And I would sit down and listen. God's trying to tell you something, so I would sit down. Thanks.
Amen, Charles. I think we probably all have been at that point where God wants you by yourself. Now, a person can be speaking a word, really. But when God talks and you know it's God, obedience is better than sacrifice. One time I had this experience where the Lord told me to invite my neighbor to church. And I was rushing and I was about to be late. I said, God, I'll ask him next week. And I'm running off to the church. Well, next week never came for that man.
Oh.
I was outside when the ambulance came and got him. And his wife was just praying. I couldn't understand what she's saying because she didn't speak English. I'll never forget it. I missed it.
I've got blood on my hands too, sister, for the same, almost the same circumstances. It was a young man back home, young white man, back in 92, 93, early 90s, and he was working on the same job, and he come to me one day, he said, Charles, he said, I'm looking for the peace that you have. He said, there's a peace about you. I said, it's a peace of God in me. There's a peace that's all understanding. He said, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And that Friday night, God laid it on my spirit, said, go visit Brother Terry. His name was Terry Brewer, I think. He said, go visit Brother Terry. Laid it on my spirit so hard, but I disobeyed God. Terry went out to a little town back home called McLean, Mississippi. He loved black women. He went out there, poured him in a pocket full of money. And they literally stomped him and beat him to death. Those black guys up there. They never found out who killed him. The gang, the Crips or one of the blood gangs got it. And literally they beat him, they disfigured him so bad. And to this day, if I would have been obedient to God, maybe Terry would still be alive. But I didn't listen to God. I didn't at that particular time. I didn't listen. And to this day, I still remember Terry. I got Terry's blood on my hands, and I know that. I know it.
And listen to this. God already knows everything. But because he allowed us to experience that, I bet you that's one lesson you won't forget.
Never forget it. And he told me just at the hospital the other day, and it was a reason I didn't get up in time and we didn't make it to the bus stop in time, and the guy had to drive me to the hospital, but I was at the bus stop waiting for him to come pick me up. And a sniper, a Marine sniper, come up. Agent, I know anything about the place down the road, and I told him, "So no, sir, I'm just waiting on a ride to come get me." He said, "Well, I'm going to get me a bottle and come back so we can have a drink together." I said, "No, I don't drink." So he left, and he came back. He couldn't find the bottle. And like I told you, you give me 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. And I asked him, I invited him to sit down on the bench because my back was hurting real bad. He sat down, and I put my hand on him. He snatched away first, and I put my hand on him again. I said, "You listen to what I got to tell you." He said, "God's trying to tell you something." And he's bothered about what he did. The one shot, one kill. Preacher man know what I'm talking about. It bothers him to the day. He said, "Man, I done talked to a psychiatrist. Said I killed my wife. Lover, I caught him in the bed with her when I got out of the service, and I killed him when I did some time in prison." He said, "But that don't bother me." He said, "Well, what bothered me was those people that one shot, one kill." He said, "The psychiatrist can't help you, can't nobody help you." I said, "Take it to Jesus." So Jesus can fix anything. And I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and I offered him a place to stay out here, and he had money. He wouldn't accept the money. He said, "I got $50. I made $50. He said, "I'm not going to take your money." I said, "But here's my phone number. Here's my address. If you ever need somebody to talk to, you can call me or you can come lay your head down and take a shower. Spend a couple of days with me." So that's all I could do in this situation. But he was hurting bad. If he found that ball that night, it ain't even telling what he would have done.
You know, he gave us a perfect example of what the church should look like. Not the building.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
The church is on the inside. No, thank you.
No, every point you brought up tonight, I preached on most of the things you brought up tonight. And one of the last places I preached before I sat down under my acacia tree by the brook, and I told the congregation that day when I closed out my sermon, I said, "This wall, these four walls we call the church, is not the church. The church is in the heart of men." I said, "We come out here for an hour or two on Sundays and we think we done did God's work." I said, "But he told us when he was ascending back unto the Father. They said more than 500 brothers and sisters saw him ascending back into the Father. He said, "Why stand ye here gazing up at me? Go ye into the highways and the byways and teach my gospel." So a small portion of what we do to serve God is inside these four walls. Take it to the highways and the byways. You take the church to them. You just said the same thing tonight in less words than I said, but you said the same thing. That's why my spirit agreed with you, because I know you're telling the truth.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Well, I think we out of time. So thank you for joining us on the line. Thank you for those who are listening in, and I pray that you be blessed. Brother Charles, go ahead and close us out in prayer tonight, if you don't mind.
Well, we've got time on the line. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, okay. Anybody else have anything they want to say?
Well, let me say it like this here. I'm looking at a number 378090. Are you there? 3490. Are you there? The line is open. Your last four numbers is 5310. Are you there?
I'm here. I already gave a comment. I'm here, Dr. Hunter.
All right. All right. God bless you.
Here.
All right. Well, we got 87, 89. Are you there? All right. We might have this number 191902. Are you there? I want to say this tonight to everybody listening tonight. The program what God has done. God has blessed us to minister. He calls us to know that He is who He said He is. And I want to thank Him once again to stay in the name of Jesus and bringing everybody. As you heard the testimony of our brother Sim, we are soldiers. We understand some things that are going on in our lives. We both went down the path. And I want to thank teacher Valerie Harris tonight for the house. Teaching. She went from A to Z. She blessed us.
Amen.
And showed us what God is doing for us in this day. We are not, we don't live in a B.I. building. We live in, it's a spirit of the Lord to live within us. And so, having said that, I'm going to get back on the line and keep monitoring everything. But you got it, sister, teacher Harris. You got it. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Great words, sister.
Thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Greer. Thank you.
Sister Harris.
Yes, sir.
I pray all the time for, I don't care who it is, man or woman, black or white, Hispanic, I don't care who it is, they got to raise somebody up in the spirit of Elijah, in the spirit of John the Baptist, in the spirit of Nathan and Samuel. To teach His word, to say what thus saith the Lord. And if it's you, I don't care who it is, but you did a great job tonight. Very simple word.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Very simple sermon, teachings. And you didn't holler and hoop. And that's how Jesus taught. He taught simple. He talked plain. And He didn't talk long when He talked. But He got His point across. And you got yours across. And if you do one, I pray for him to send somebody like you or somebody in the spirits I just named. And if it's you, I'll back you 1,000% to the day I die. I don't care who it is. I'll back you 1,000% as long as you keep saying what thus saith the Lord. You got my prayers.
Amen. To God be glory.
Amen. Likewise. And I know there's a young man that I know God is using him. His name is, let me see if I can remember his name. He's a young man that I thank God for. His name is, Gregory Williams, isn't that it? He's got G-Will Ministry, and he's doing a great work for God, and also the young lady, Charlene. I think Charlene's on the line with us. Charlene, tell us about what you got coming up real soon, right quick, so the people at the nation can hear what you're doing. Charlene, can you get a moment, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Hunter, for this opportunity. G-Will Talk Ministry is having our women's conference on April 18th, and it's 100-plus women, keeping it real. And our theme is the voice of a queen, uniquely you. And so we thank you, Dr. Hunter, for this being such a part of the ministry. and we're excited about what the Lord is doing. Sister Valerie is part of the committee, and we've been just really praying, seeking God for the planning of a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for women to come together to be stronger and stronger women of God. So thank you, Dr. Hunter. It's going to be on April 18th from 9 o'clock. Tickets online at www.gwilltalk.org. Thank you, Dr. Hunter.
No, that's what it's all about. We family. We family. It's all about getting the family. Now, where is that going to be in Houston, Texas? It's going to be in Houston,
it's
Texas?
It's going to be in Houston, Texas at this venue called My Place. It's MYE Place. It's at 461 West Parker Road in Houston, Texas. It's right off of 45 in Parker in Houston, and it's called My Place, MYE Place. Thank you.
I know, yes, ma'am. All right. All right.
One other thing, Sister Charlene, how do we become sponsors? I mean, you know, tell us what to do if we can be a sponsor.
Oh yeah, we have sponsor packages, and they're also listed on the website. But you can kind of get with any one of the members. Our numbers are on our website at gwilltalk.org, and we can meet up with you. But we have sponsor packages all the way from $25. All the way up to $5,000. If you just want to bless a young lady from the shelter, we sponsor women from the shelter each year to attend, and it gives them an opportunity to take a trip and just spend, be encouraged around women. And this year, Sister Valerie even recommended that we have them sit, you know, at her table or various tables. We usually have them all sit in the back, but we're going to do something different this year, but it really pours into their lives. But the sponsor packages allow them to attend the conference free of charge. So thank you for asking.
Amen. That's what it's all about, pressing the word in. Amen, amen. Now, has anybody seen Brother Gregory? Is he going on? He left Houston. Does anybody know he left Houston or not?
I'm with you, Doctor.
Oh, all right, then. Well, Soldier Man? Sims?
Yes, sir.
Sims? This is a young man I've been telling you I have so much love for. This is a young man I've been telling you I have so much love for. His name is Gregory Williams. Yes, sir. A man that has a passion for God's love. Has a passion.
I knew Gregory Williams back home. Is that the same one from Leesville, Mississippi?
No, that's a man.
I know you know about that name about Gregory Williams.
Let me out, Gregory.
No, I'm actually from New Orleans. New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same name.
This is the man I've been telling you about. He has a fire of God in his heart. And I'm going to push him to the best I can. That God is. I'm doing what God told me to do. I don't care nothing about him. I care what God is doing through him. And I see some great work that God is doing through him. He's pushing up, pushing in. Whatever you can hold him, he's always on time. And he said, one thing I learned about him, he said, I learned something the other day. He said, who's the boss? Who's the boss? So that was a good lesson. He said, who's the boss? God is our boss. We get up in the morning, call him, hey, boss, what do you want me to do today? Take us back to the old slavery day. But that's all right. I want to thank you, Brother Gregory. I know you got something to say tonight. God bless you, Brother Gregory.
No, thank you too, Dr. Hunter. No, it's nothing more that can be said. I want to say thank you, Sister Valerie, for a great word tonight, and thank you for your testimony, brother, for sharing what you shared with us as well. I really, really enjoyed the message tonight, the lesson tonight. Just thank God for just being in the presence of some believers, some people that really love God.
Amen. Thank you.
Tonight I just felt like we was with some people that really love God, God's truth, His word. He said, I put my word above my name. There's power in the name of Jesus. But the Bible said that he put his word above the name. So I want to say thank you, Dr. Hunter. Great word. I wasn't feeling too well, so I was going to take some medicine. I did take the medicine. Told Celine I was going to lay down, but I couldn't lay down. The Holy Spirit said, now you got to be on the line tonight. So I just enjoyed it. Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. She probably thought I was asleep, but now I enjoyed the word, so... thank you, Sister Valerie. Love you so much. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Love you. And, brother, I'll be looking forward to meeting you soon. Dr. Hunter, is he in Houston with us?
I'm inviting him up here with us to be a part of what we're doing. I'm inviting him to be part of what we're doing. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Soldier
boy,
soldier boy.
Meet you one day, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Love
Amen.
You. What you mean?
I'm Please. Sorry.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Charles again. One of the Psalms teaches us that, I think it's the 131st, 133rd Psalm that says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity." It's like the precious oil that was poured upon Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt of his garments. I done preached on a lot of things, and that's one of them. There's a lot of jealousness amongst supposed to be Christian men, leaders of God. They all want self out front. They want to be recognized as the greatest leader, the greatest this, but it's enough for all of us to get some praise and some glory in this here. It's enough for all of us. Don't
mm-hmm.
get jealous because one somebody's in the spotlight today, tomorrow, next week might be your turn. Like I had my turn on your show. Sister had her turn tonight, and she did a great job. It's enough for
yeah.
all of us.
Yeah.
It's enough for all of us in this here without any jealousness creeping in amongst us. That's what's wrong with the church. Jealousness done creeped in, and this one family can't be the head family in the church, or so-and-so this or so-and-so that, and all that jealousness done divided the church of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But Charles, the harvest is plentiful.
Oh, it's just great. Yes.
But the
Thank
laborers
you.
Are few.
Few. Thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You got it, Sister Valerie.
But Charles, you gonna close us out in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. It's gonna be short and sweet.
That's all.
Dear Lord God, our Heavenly Father. We thank you for the guest speaker tonight. She taught your word simple, but even a child could understand it, or the most learned theologian could get something out of it. We thank her for the way she taught tonight. We pray that you will continue to use her. We pray that Brother Preacher Man will keep the blog open and keep inviting guest speakers like her. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I've enjoyed this time with my family, with my sisters and brothers in Christ. And if there's anyone that is listening on the line that don't know him, get to know him. Your life
Amen.
Will never be the same.
No.
So we say good night. Be blessed. And join us again next Monday. Amen. Amen. I love you.
Amen. Amen.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Amen. Love you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Love you, too.
Love
Bye-bye.
You. Good night, everybody.